This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're about a little more than a half hour away from Governor J.B. Pritzker's State of the State and Budget Address. This is the governor's opportunity to lay out his policy agenda for the next year, which crucially is a re-election year for Governor Pritzker. It's also, more importantly, when he presents his proposal for how much of the government of Illinois collects in taxes from its citizens and how it spends that money. That will be at noon. Because of the winter storm, he's not speaking before a joint session of the Illinois General Assembly that was canceled. Instead, he's speaking on a web stream from the old state capitol historic site in downtown Springfield. For another perspective on the state of the state of Illinois, what we already know the governor will propose and what else lawmakers want to hear, we're joined now by the Senate Minority Leader, Dan McConkie. He's a Republican from Hawthorne Woods. Leader McConkie, welcome back to the 21st.
Good to be on with you, Brian.
So I want to begin with a big picture question to you that I just asked to Speaker Welch. How would you briefly describe the state of the state, the condition of the state of Illinois today?
Well, I think the best measurement of how the state is doing is in its population. And, you know, we recently had information that came from the Census Bureau that said over 113,000 people left the state in the last year. You know, we were, we're the second highest state on a per capita basis to be losing population. People don't leave a state. They don't move away from, you know, sell their home. They don't move away from families and friends and so forth unless, there's an issue there. And it's us in New York that are at the top of the list of people that are moving away. And I think that is an extremely concerning statistic, you know, when we talk to people, at least on an anecdotal basis, as to why are you leaving or why are you considering leaving or why have your friends or family members left, they point predominantly to cost of living. They point to their property tax bill, taxes overall in general, and, you know, increased concerns about just livability, whether it be crime and corruption or competence in state government. So I think there is a number of issues that people are voting with their feet about, and we need to get to the heart of what those are and work to address them.
Well, the Pritzker administration is going to be laying out its vision for attempting to address what ails Illinois in its state of the state and budget message today. The administration is projecting a budget surplus, and it's calling for putting $879 million into the rainy day fund over this current budget year and next year. And it's calling for spending more on the state's pension liabilities than is legally required. Basically, they're saying Illinois state finances are on their strongest trajectory in a generation. Leader McConkie, what do you think of that?
Well, I support those things. I think those are good things to do. I think, you know, maybe even putting a little bit more into the pension fund is a good idea, given how much it saves taxpayers over the long term. But we have to remember that at the end of the day, we still have structural reforms that fundamentally need to be done in this state that, unfortunately, the governor has continued to ignore. And the reason why we have the income that we've had has been largely due to the COVID money that has been spread out through the economy. The governor's budget is balanced, not using any sort of federal money, but there has been dramatic increases in our receipts, whether it be sales taxes, income taxes, corporate taxes, and a lot of that has to do with the stimulus money that came from Washington, frankly. And so at the end of the day, you know, we do have some concerns as to the long-term trajectory in regards to these increased revenues. Are they something that's sustainable? But we also have a question. You know, I just got off a call a few minutes ago. We were digging into the governor's budget book, and he is projecting an increase of $2.5 billion in spending, really permanent ongoing spending above the base budget that we've had just even from a year ago, and then only $1 billion in temporary one-year tax relief. That is a problem. I mean, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we have people leaving the state, significant numbers, going to other places. And what we need to do is make Illinois a net importer of people again. And the way in which we do that is address the cost of living in a permanent ongoing basis. As people say, Illinois is an affordable place for me and my family to live. Not only do we want to stay living here, we want to bring other people. We want to bring other family members and friends into our state and put down roots here. This is a long-term problem that is not going to be solved with short-term election year gimmicks.
Short-term election year gimmicks. I think that previews where I wanted to ask you next, which is what you think about some of these specific ideas. What about this 1% tax on groceries, suspending that? That money goes to local governments. The state long ago ended its tax on groceries. The governor says he'd hold local governments harmless on that. What do you think of that?
You know what? I favor it if we can make it permanent, right? I mean, we have an issue of really a major affordability issue in this state. You know, and I think that the various types of tax, I support a lot of the temporary tax increases that the governor, or decreases, that the governor has put out, but they need to be permanent because a temporary manner, people are like, oh, okay, so we'll address it for a little bit, but then these taxes are going to go back up. You know, that is not that's not a sustainable solution to address why people have been leaving the state.
What about the gas tax? You have to be careful in how you phrase this. A suspension or postponement of an inflation increase in the gas tax is about 2 cents a gallon. This is something that I think there's been bipartisan agreement, certainly nationally in Illinois as well in the past, on infrastructure spending. And this is meant to make sure that the money that goes to fixing bridges and roads and other so-called vertical construction in Illinois, that it can hold its buying power over the years. There was a public policy reason to put that in. What do you think of moving away from that already for the sake of, 2 cents a gallon?
So what we've proposed is actually a reduction in the sales tax that is on gasoline. Vast majority of the sales tax that is charged on gasoline does not go into roads. It goes into the general budget. And so our suggestion is that we keep the gas tax intact so that the road fund continues to be appropriated, but that we reduce the sales tax and what percentage of that goes into a change the percentage that goes into the general election budget, so that we're holding that harmless. In fact, under our proposal, we'd actually increase the amount of money going into the road fund. There's a lot of issues. We just saw a bridge in Pennsylvania collapse under the weight of snow. We have lots of structural problems with bridges and roads in our state. And, I'm not sure that reducing the amount of money that we put into the road fund is a good idea at this point. But given how much extra surplus that we have, we should be changing the formula so that we're keeping the road fund harmless and instead, figuring out how to pay our bills in the state through some other method that doesn't hurt our infrastructure.
Yeah, and maybe for listeners who may not be quite as well-versed as you are in the nuances of state gas taxation, there are two separate, sure, at least two separate, or multiple, more than that actually, but you have the motor fuel tax, which is this 39.2 cent tax per gallon presently that goes into road projects. Then there's also just the regular sales tax you'd use when you bought a TV or a book or anything else. And that's what you're saying should be reduced instead of the one that's dedicated for construction.
Right. I think there's a way of doing tax relief that provides people relief at the pump without hurting our road, investment in infrastructure at the same time.
So I know it's early in the process and it's also an election year, but I'm old enough to remember when budgets in Illinois did have at least some, if not significant, bipartisan support. Do you think what you've learned so far about what the governor is expected to propose today at least might make that possible this year?
Well, look, I have stated for years that we are always interested in sitting down and trying to work together in regards to the budget. In fact, last year, I made a trip over to the Senate president's office, and it was just me and him. And I said, hey, let's figure out. And like, look, you have a supermajority of members of your caucus who are in the Senate. You know, what things do you want to work together on? And it was actually the Senate president that suggested the budget. And then over that next month, there was no substantive meetings in regards to it. And in the end, there was no input that was even taken from Republicans in regard to that. I hope that we get to a point that we're actually working together in a bipartisan basis. That's what people want us to do. The offer has been on the table to sit down and negotiate in good faith. It just hasn't happened to date under the current leadership in the House and Senate. We'll have to see if there is a a change that comes. I can't say for certain what it is, how it is that they're going to decide to react. I've just been disappointed to date with the real lack of back and forth from the majority party.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with the leader of the Illinois Senate Republican Caucus, Senate Minority Leader Dan McConkie, about the governor's budget address, which is scheduled to begin about 25 minutes from now. We'll have live coverage of that at noon on most of our NPR stations where you're listening to us now. I want to move on and ask you about criminal justice. Your caucus has been talking a lot about that in recent months. The Senate Republicans are again pushing a package that, among other things, would send grants to police departments for training and so forth. It would also create 10-in-life sentencing rules, essentially two strikes for certain violent or firearm offenses, including possession of a weapon by a felon. The governor previously responded to these ideas by saying Republicans have only been calling for more time in prison for people. How do you respond to that?
Well, the issue is that there are dangerous people on the streets, and we've had a significant number of cases in which people get out of prison and go back and commit, you know, violent crimes again. And there should be certain crimes that you just can't get back out onto the streets in order to continue to create havoc. And this is an issue that I think people are very, very concerned about in general, and that is about crime. So when I've had town halls over the past few months, I have taken to asking a question at every single one of those events. And I say, how many of you, I'm in the Chicago suburbs, how many of you have not taken a trip to downtown Chicago and you've skipped that trip out of fear? And I kid you not, at every one of those, every single hand goes up. That's a real problem. It's a real problem for the people feeling that it's safe to actually go around and live their lives. And you know, there's a lot of people who live in this area up here where I am, who live here because of the benefits of being near a big world-class city. And if they're refusing to go into that city, you know, it's an issue for individual people. It's an issue for our economic engine in Chicago that helps power this state. Because we need more and more people to be going out and going to restaurants, going to shops, doing these types of things. And they're only going to do that if they feel like it's safe to do so. And, you know, violent crime is definitely on the rise. And I think that we should be debating. I mean, these are ideas that we've presented. We presented a package of them, and they didn't come out of thin air. These are coming from law enforcement themselves, who are saying this is the type of assistance that we need in order to help ensure that not only can we do our jobs, but that we're able to do them effectively. You know, I did a town hall with one of my members whose district covers both part of Cook and DuPage County. And at that event, we had the mayor of that town come in, and he kicked it off, and unbeknownst to me, I didn't know he was going to do this, but he told a story, which was of a retail theft operation where they were on the run. They'd gotten stopped in this particular town that crosses straddles the border, and they get them. The perpetrators are cornered. They get them out of the car. They cuff them. They stand them up. The first thing out of the perpetrator's mouth was, "Which county am I in?" And the police officer reportedly responded, "The wrong one," because there is this reputation that's out there that certain state attorneys are not doing their job, or that the judges in there are going to let you off the hook, going to let you go. So we need to ensure that people are not able to do that. They don't go into one county, commit a crime, run back to the other county, and just hide out because we have officials, your state's attorney, your prosecutors, your judges, who are not enforcing law in a manner that is actually helping keep people safe.
Well, we only have a couple of minutes left. I do want to ask you, earlier this week, we spoke with a researcher from Northwestern about a study that found a correlation between the two-year budget impasse with its complete lack of funding for social services and a spike in homicides among young people in Chicago in 2016. And there's an advocate we had on who works with groups that work with young people, and she said she thinks today's increase in crime is an echo of the impasse. You took office in the middle of the budget impasse, which was driven by then Governor Bruce Rauner's urging that Democrats change the rules for government employee labor unions. What responsibility do Republicans have for this spike in crime?
So I'm not going to let Governor Rauner off the hook. I disagreed with, I think, the manner and tactics in which he did. But let me tell you, it was a two-way street. In contrast to what your previous speaker just stated, you know, I was there when the legislature refused to even send the governor a budget. You know, there was the votes. If they had decided to do so, they could have put something together. They could have passed it, sent it to the governor for him to veto. They didn't even pass a budget. And so, yeah, you know, does Governor Rauner bear a responsibility in regards to issues of the impasse? Definitely. Do Democrats bear responsibility? Absolutely. When you don't even send a proposal to the governor, that's an abrogation of your responsibility. And so, today, this is why I go back to, hey, can we all sit down at the table and actually kind of talk about, negotiate this? You know, my understanding is from the governor today, he's going to establish criterion on which people have to check certain boxes in order to be able to be at the table with him. I hope that that isn't true, but if that is the case, that's not negotiating in good faith with the people that are sent there to represent their constituents. You know, hopefully he reconsiders that and, you know, actually invites us all to the table. We'll see.
Okay, we will see. Senate Republican leader Dan McConkie, Republican from Hawthorne Woods. He is the Senate Minority Leader of the Senate Republican Caucus. Senator Dan McConkie, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Great to be on with you.
Coming up after the break, we're going to be speaking with our panel, State House reporter Hannah Meisel of our partner station NPR Illinois and Amanda Cass from the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the U of I system. We're going to be talking about what to expect from the governor's speech, which is about 19 minutes away. Stay with us.